Good afternoon, Knaan. It's been too long. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Simon. I've been, ping-ponging around. But thank you so much for this fresh-up course in parenting. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, so obviously these dilemmas rise up every day. And I would just humbly like to add that when you have a credible threat, you don't actually have to realize it. I remember my grandfather, who had a he was a carpenter. He had a hand like a baseball bat. He didn't need to raise his voice or threaten us because he had a credible threat, right? You know, me, I have the hand of a beauty consultant at the mall. I don't think I carry that weight. Anyway.
No, Clown, you just might be interested to know that today the South African Constitutional Court ruled it unconstitutional for parents to smack their children. So hence the topicality of the subject for us today. So there was reason for it.
So that's the context, because context is apparently important. Yeah, thank you. Right. Okay, what's happening in Europe, Knaan?
Well, I recently, I'm sorry for the noise in the background. I'm still out and about. I recently visited Moldova, which is a nation near Russia, which is partly controlled by Russia. And I met a guy called Rabbi Yosef Mendelevich. Have you heard of this guy?
Not me.
Nope.
So he was a prisoner of Zion in the 1960s. And then in 1970, he hatched this daring plan to hijack a plane in St. Petersburg and fly it with six other associates to Israel. It was called Operation Wedding. It was one of the worst cases of quote-unquote terrorism by Jews in the USSR, and they sent him and a bunch of other guys to many years in the gulag. Mendelevich sat 11 years in the gulag, had a hunger strike, was eventually released, what was left of him mentally, as the Soviet Union laxed its oppression of Jews in the 1980s. Anyway, he told me that recently he began this series of lectures throughout Russia, and Chabad communities would host him. He would come and he would basically tell them about his very, very exciting history. And then earlier this year, they started picketing his lectures, and the people, nationalists, carrying posters saying Mendelevich is a terrorist started showing up at the venues before he actually even got there. So obviously they had the intelligence somehow in advance, and it seemed centrally orchestrated. And basically he's saying, you know, now they're the Russian government, the FSB, the security service, is targeting this old Jew who's coming to tell about how he resisted communist state anti-Semitism. You know, that seemed far-fetched to me, and I started looking into it, and actually it's pretty amazing that this Putinism, this growing oppression and authoritarianism in Russia is really spurring on a huge aliyah to Israel for the first time since the fall of communism.
I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know there was another wave of aliyah from Russia. Is it significant, Knaan?
Right? Yeah, so the numbers are really astounding. Since 2014, 40,000 Olim came to Israel, and those are only the Jews we know about who left Russia, because others got study visas and went to the UK and immigrated to Germany. And in the previous 10 years, there are only 35,000 Olim. So in the space of 4.5 years, came more Olim to Israel than in the previous 10 years. It's really a spur, and it started just around the time that Putin consolidated his second presidential term, and he started really cracking down on civil liberties and the courts, and he started using the judiciary as a tool to knock out rivals and opposition leaders. And Jews are very, very attuned, especially in Russia, to these kind of changes, and they're just moving in droves, even though financially most of them are doing all right.
So interesting you talking about this, because I was watching a program just last night about Russian Jews in Israel, because their vote is so important and everybody wanting it. And it seems to me that we in the diaspora seem to make the very large mistake of seeing all the Russian Jews as an homogenous group, whereas they're not. You've got Ukrainian Jews, you've got Moldavian Jews, you've got the Republic, the ex-Soviet Republic Jews, as opposed to the Russian proper ones. So what you're saying is really interesting, because you said you visited Moldova. Is this a reflection of Jews in the ex-republics leaving, or is this a widespread movement of all Jews within what used to be the Soviet Union?
No, this is specific in Russia. Also outside, because of Ukraine, okay, but there's a war raging there, there's a recession. But in Russia, things are going relatively well. People are just voting with their feet. And I spoke to one of them, a marketing designer, 39-year-old guy called Dima Inyegin, and he told me, you know, I could vote in Russia too. We had this talk right after he voted for the second time in Israel on Tuesday. I could vote in Russia too, but voting and knowing that your vote can actually make a difference is something completely new to me.
Yeah, hashtag just ask people who voted for Brexit, right? I mean, what, that was a big story, right? Yeah. Kanan, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you so much. It's lovely to speak to you.